a trade update for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the road.
Well, he doesn't get quite the fanfare that Sammy Edmund did, but nice little stinger for our man. Stephen Silvani's going to join. Are you joining us every week?
Not every week, Gaz, no. A couple of times a week, maybe.
A couple of times a week?
Maybe a couple. Oh, depends how today goes.
Sausage taking over Trade Radio. You can hear him on Trade Radio from 3 till 6 with Damo and Matty Rendell. It could be an... I think this is an audition for Wisp and Sauce for breakfast.
Where are you going?
Well, that's out.
What do you mean out?
Out. Matt, good to see you, young man.
Good to see you, Gaz.
How'd you make? What'd you make of it all on the weekend?
Oh, I thought it was a great game up until three-quarter time. I guess the Melbourne supporters would have loved the last quarter. But, look, I thought the Bulldogs were still in it till three-quarter time. But, you know, they obviously were the two best teams, I think, this year. Maybe you could probably throw Port in there. But I just love watching Petrarca and also Oliver and also Bontempelli run around and just watch those three great players in action.
What did your recruiting report say about Petrarca when he was coming through?
Yeah, well, we obviously knew that he had power. You know, he was competitive in terms of being around the ball. He was always a beautiful, long kick, penetrating kick. So, yeah, we always rated him very, very highly. So, and it's just great to see someone... obviously, who's as gifted as him, but he's taken his work rate and his professionalism to another level, and that's what great players do.
The clubs overanalyze. You know, when you see somebody who's thick set, like a Petrarca, and club people looking, oh, gee, I'm not sure about him. You know, is he going to blow out? How big is he going to get? Is he going to have the endurance? Is that one of the big question marks against somebody who is thick set as a junior?
Oh, sometimes you look at them and have they developed
too early?
Too early.
Because yeah. We all play with. Kids yeah, like that coming yeah. through, didn't we, the
yeah,
juniors?
We did. But he always had the power. So it wasn't as if he was a one-pace player coming yep. through. He always had some power off the mark. So I think that concern was probably taken out of it.
His athleticism would be there for all to see. So you're a bit surprised that do you think the Dogs could have done anything? Rui did a bit of analysis on it last night on the couch about... you know, once it started, what they did, and they did make some adjustments at the centre, but I was just saying to Tim, you know, when you got ball hunters like Bontempelli, and it would be the same for Melbourne, you know, those blokes are all year just, they go after the footy. They're not going to hold a defensive position at a centre square. And to ask them to do that when the rampage was on was too much.
Yeah, it was a bit surprising. I think, if you look at that centre square bounce and their stoppages around the ground, I think that's probably the one thing they're going to analyse. You know, over the course of the off-season, how do we improve that area when a team gets a roll on, you know, kicking two goals? Really, there should have been a mindset or a structure. Okay, someone should have called it. We need to play a bit defensive here. But they just walked it out of there. And that's a concern.
See, the hard thing is then, because you go, okay, we need our best players in there. And sometimes you might have to say, well, no, we need our best defensive players. Mm. Yeah, and that's a different thing, isn't it? Like, it'd be a brave move to say, let's get Bond out of the middle. And then, someone's saying, hang on, we're getting reamed. But you go, well, yeah, but we need a different sort just for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then it's also the mindset, the shift in a mindset too. Okay, this is the way we want to play. Well, hang on, now we're panicking because of the situation we find ourselves in. Yep. And being able to, shift the momentum. And the momentum just, we talked about it yesterday, so it's like, I went back and watched the game because... I thought, what the hell happened that we missed the first time round?
Yeah, well, it was really interesting because watching the game, I was listening to, I think, Brian Taylor at the time. He was halfway through that third quarter when the Bulldogs were 19 points up. Mm. He's talking about Bontempelli pretty much being the Norm Smith medalist.
Well, he's saying the greatest Bulldog of all time.
Like, and that's where it was at. And at the time, I was thinking... you know what, the Bulldogs probably only need one more goal here and that could be the game. But having said that, when you look at the game in its entirety and particularly early, the D's had a lot of shots at goals. They peppered the goals and they didn't kick their goals. So, but there was a period there where the Bulldogs, obviously in the second quarter, start of the third quarter, I thought they were on top.
Yep.
And they just didn't capitalise probably another goal or two in that early third quarter, they were in real strife. Even at 19 points, the D's looked like they were in real strife.
Yeah.
It was a great effort.
One more goal would have made everyone even more nervous. It's just mind-boggling. And then you go on at 74 points. I don't think I've seen a game like it, let alone in a grand final.
It still didn't look like a 74-point game, like casting your mind back over that game. Do you think there's going to be a philosophical shift in maybe the way the coaches instruct their players to play? And, you know, sometimes we can jump to conclusions on the back of, you know, like one season, one way or one style that a team plays. But if you think about, you know, Richmond being the dominant side, the way that they've played and not afraid to kick to a contest and, you know, the chaotic sort of movement of the ball, but the power around the ball and the gun. And now Melbourne doing it in a different way, but still sort of embracing some of those characteristics.
Yeah, I do. But I look at Melbourne's grand final performance or their premiership, it's not done in that one year. I look back to when Paul Bruce came into the system or went and coached them, and he was a defensive coach. That was his mindset. And the grounding some of those players over his 2-3 years that he was there and develop those younger players and understand what defence is about.
Yep.
And then you've got the attacking style of a good one come through. Grand finals aren't won in one year. You know, it's a build-up,
yeah.
And they recruited really well. Did they get everything right? No. They got a lot of things right. But then, you know, it's been a methodical, and it's been done probably over 8 to 9 years. Their rebuild hasn't been 6 years, 7 years. I think 2014, they finished 17th. 2019, they finished 17th. So it wasn't as if it was, you know, a linear rise. It had hiccups along the way. But the great thing about Melbourne was they stuck to the course. They didn't panic, and they believed in what they were doing.
And I think that's right. And the interesting thing now is that they've got a side that can stop teams from kicking goals, but at the same time banging them on. That's going to be the challenge coming into next year. And the one thing that is, we talk about reviews, you know, like the Carlton review and all that. Gary Peart did his own review of that footy club at the end of last year.
Didn't go to externals?
No, he did it. So this is a man who's, you know...
And what did he discover?
Well, overwhelmingly came out of it that Simon Gooden was the man to coach. That was the first thing. And then they brought in some support, Uze and Williams specifically. So there's an example of, you know, I always hear Malcolm Blight talk about it. Review, why are you going externally for review? You've got blokes in there, that's their job is to review your footy club, and it seemed to have worked for them.
Had they not made the change of chairman or chairperson at the club, would... Goody have remained as coach, do you think?
I'm not across all of that. I haven't delved into any of that.
Because I know he felt a lot of pressure there while Bartlett was there.
Apparently, yeah. So, you know, if that was the case, they've cleared the air and it's been the best thing for him and for the club, clearly, by what we've seen.
What about the performance of Jackson, too, as the 19-year-old backup ruckman?
Yeah, and look, winning the Rising Star, and there's always that expectation of grand finals, it's really interesting. I mean, and you guys have played in finals, but as this final series keeps going, you know, there's more and more focus on the teams that remain. And you get to that grand final and you just want to, I don't know, I was motivated by the fear of failure.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, just not to play poorly on that day. That was my biggest fear, you know. And you've got so many people, you know, watching that game. And to see him perform on the day and the youngsters, it's a whole new experience for him too, first up. And for him to be able to perform the way he did was fantastic.
And you may have to try and find a different, I said this last night, a different name for the position. Like his work when he went into the clearance, I only saw this last night because I haven't seen the game again, but he contests and in the blink of an eye, the ground level, it's 4-on-3.
Mm.
You know, and that's not, you know, Steph Martin, who hadn't played much footy, but this year with injury, he was a non-factor, whereas Jackson was first at it, and then you got an opposition outnumbered in the centre. That's where he changes it.
It's a different look, and he's a jumping ruckman.
Yeah. Right?
When you look at Max Gorn, he's got that height where he can just position his body and hit the ball out. But it was a different look for Melbourne in there, and did that come as a bit of a surprise to the Bulldogs?
We've got Stephen Silvani in here. We might get our breakaway and then we'll start peppering him with some of the questions around the trade and see where he thinks some of these players may be headed or what the needs are. You can send through a message or you can even give us a call if you've got a question that Sausage might be able to answer for you. ENS Open Line is 1300 736 736.
Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards and complimentary Kogan First Membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
A trade update for Tyre Power. Tyre experts you should always trade with.
Soft question for you off the Temper Tech. Steve Silvani's with us. You can hear him 3 to 6 Trade Radio. Is it as simple as the Dogs going into point deficit for Sam Darcy, or do they have to trade for picks to get enough points for him?
Well, they can go into points deficit, but they'll try and find the picks to...
So just explain that. There'd be people out there who wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about. So Sam Darcy's father's son, obviously Luke's son, he's going to be in the top five players in this draft. So Dogs can match the pick, but what happens?
So each pick... has a points number, has a value. So,
right. If he goes two,
that pick's worth 2,500 points,
right,
plus a 20% discount for father, son, or NGAs. So yep. There's a discount on the 2,500 points.
Yep.
So they've got to make up those points within that draft. If they don't have enough points in that draft, it'll come off their
when
first
When you say
pick.
Make up, how do they make it up?
Well, they've got to find 20% less of 2,500.
250 is 10%, so 500.
500.
They get
point.
A 500-point discount.
Correct. So that's 1,900. Is that right? Oh no, 2,000. 2,000. Yep. 2,000. So they've got to find 2,000 points. So all their picks in the draft have got to add up to 2,000 points.
And they sacrifice them.
They all go.
Right.
Yeah. So if they don't have enough points with those picks in this year's draft,
yep,
the points will come off their first pick of next year's draft.
That's going into deficit.
That's going into deficit, which has happened with Fremantle.
Right.
So Fremantle, I think, was last year or the year before. They there was a bid on one of their NGA players,
yep,
and they were in deficit in their first round. So their first pick actually slid back a couple of spots last year.
Is it in the interest of clubs to bid on these blokes?
It is.
To put pressure on Collingwood with Nick Dacos?
Well, if you value them, if you think...
Well,
you
they're
no-brainer,
Nick Dacos.
Yeah, well,
it?
He's not. But ultimately, there's a little bit going, well, is it by me bidding, is it going to help me out? Or is it going to help, other picks come in for you? Do we really value that player at that pick, and are we a chance to get him? Right. So, yeah, if you value the player, sure, within reason, But
yeah.
If you've got a player that's roughly similar and you think, well, you know what, I'm going to go
yep,
this player because they're quite even. So, yeah, I always think that if you value the player and it's going to help you get that player or get something through a little bit further down the line, bid.
Is there ever been a more difficult time to be a recruiter given the lack of exposed form from some of the Victorian boys the last couple of years? I know that the interstaters have still been able to play, and maybe we'll see a weighting towards the kids from interstate because of that, but has it been more difficult the last couple of years than ever before?
Would have to be. I mean, not only Victoria, you've got New South Wales now.
Of course, yeah.
So, look, it's extremely difficult that the fact that these recruiters can't sort of travel around the nation to actually see him firsthand live.
You talk about a Clayton Oliver, like a few years ago now, but like he came on so strongly and late in that final year of under 18 football for him.
Yeah.
Like, no kid's been able to do that here in Victoria.
Well, not in Victoria, and that's 2 years. So, yeah. It's not only the lack of for the Victorian kids. It's not only the kids that have the kids that came through last year, but it's also affected the kids 14, 15, 16, 17
yeah,
years of age, where those kids haven't played a lot of footy, and are they going to have the hunger to want to keep playing? Have they turned to skateboarding, bikes, basketball? Like you just don't know what this 2 years has done to the development of junior football in Victoria.
Right, let's run through a few of these and you can give us just quick thoughts because I know there's still a lot to play out. So very early thoughts. Petrescu Seaton, will he get where he wants to go and how big of a loss will it be?
I think, look, there's some talk he still wants to remain at the club.
Oh, is it?
Okay. So whether Michael Voss can talk him around and whether...
Vossy rang you and said, listen, I've got a chance to keep Sam Petrescu Seaton. What do you say?
I would say try and keep him.
Right, you're a fan. You think he's been played out of position, huh?
Yeah, I do. When we recruited him, he was a forward mid or a mid forward, and he's played a lot of his footy over the last 2 years down back.
And there's been a lot of there's been a lack of stability around that team as well. Which for some players they can adjust, other players don't adjust, And we don't see the best of them. What about Adam Chera? What do they do? What do they have to do to get that deal done?
I think their first pick will get that done. There's no doubt Freo would, and that's if he nominates Carl. I don't know whether he has or
it looks
hasn't.
Like he will, though, yeah.
But Freo
yeah.
would want more than their first pick.
Yeah. Is he worth more than their first pick?
Look, to be honest, Tim, I don't know what this draft holds in terms of where Carlton's pick is. I think it's pick 6 or 8 or whatever it is. It's what's in that draft. Geez, what can I get with pick 6? Is there a really good player there that we think could be better than Adam Chera?
Right.
And Melbourne can't get it done. Like I think he would like to go to Melbourne if they were able to get it done, but they've got no pick. Can't see how they get it done.
No, but I don't know if they can. Can they trade their future pick? Because they traded their.
I think they can trade a future pick. Yeah.
So their first round.
Yeah, no, you can, but if you've already done it, I don't think you can the next time. Is that right?
No, I think that's right. Mm. I've got to check the rules.
Check the rules on that one. Yeah. what about Jordan Dawson? He's chosen Adelaide over Port. Was that a surprise?
May have got down to money. Right. So it just really depends on the term of the contract and where he sees things.
Mason Cox got a future?
I think he's handy for someone. I don't think you'd have to give up much to get him, if anything. So he might go in the pre-season draft or delisted free agent.
So I've heard Port Adelaide now interested in Finlayson and now they're interested in O'Brien. Two blokes that have been around for a long time who are hot and cold. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's telling you that they're worried about a third tall or one of their talls going down at some stage through the year, so they need some backup. So, and we know, Dixon and you've got Marshall up in the forward line, so it's whether they're looking at them as a forward or a back. I would think forward, so is it a backup for one of those two players if one of them gets injured throughout the year?
Lipinski, what do you think of him as a player?
Yeah, I don't mind him as a player. I haven't seen a lot of him. Obviously, he's the tall inside mid. So
Through as a junior, though, did you rate him highly when he was in the under-18 competition coming through?
We certainly had him listed. I actually can't recall where we had him. But, we didn't have him in our top 10 or 20, but certainly he would have been in the top sort of 50.
McRae, a great appointment for Collingwood, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think, he's been a development coach. He's been through the systems. People talk very highly of him, and it's great for him to get a chance to coach AFL footy.
There's a lot of midfield sort of bulls, if you like, who are in up for grabs, and now Aaron Vandenberg has joined the list, the Demon, who really highly rated at Melbourne. In the last couple of years, he just got injured and then couldn't get any continuity. And look, every time he played, he looked like he was in a rush to make an impact and he was making a few blues. So anyway, they go deep, clearly, so he's got to look elsewhere. Will he get a club?
I think so. If he wants to go out and search for a club, it's going to be very interesting whether these guys get clubs during the trade period or does it happen once the national draft's been over? You've got the pre-season selections as well. So it's going to be interesting when these players actually get listed at other clubs.
Is it Dunstan? Is he one of those players in that category too, do you think?
Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
Do you think he's an AFL player, backup AFL player, midfielder for the right mix?
Yeah, I think he's good enough to be on a list. I mean, he's shown that he can actually play AFL footy. It's just really interesting the mix of midfielders that clubs would like. I mean, everyone's going to look at Melbourne. They're going to try and get a Petrarca through the door. They want an Oliver. Yeah. That's how you're going to get that mix. And that's what clubs tend to look at. They tend to look at the grand final teams. How many of those big bulls, are they quick enough? Have they got explosive speed? So it was interesting because I know clubs initially, when the 6v6 set up, a lot of clubs thought we need that speed, that small quickness out of the midfield. Yes, you'd like that, but you still need the strong bodies to be able to, when it hits the ground, to be able to stand over it and win that clearance.
Last one, Sausage, and we love having you in here. Jared Brander, West Coast tall. They've got a lot of talls, West Coast. He looks like the one that's been spat out. Has he got a home somewhere else?
I think he'd have obviously clubs looking at him. I don't know. For me, I look at his competitiveness a little bit and just question that. And there's a reason why, West Coast would be letting him. Like a tall. You're looking at a 195, 196 key position player. And you're letting him go. So that's the question mark I'd be
Can you make a promise to everybody? This has just come through off the temper text. When Jack kicks a goal next year, that when they cut to you, you'll smile and show some emotion.
What about if I start the wave? we'll get a little bit of a reaction there.
Just a thumbs up and a big smile would be nice.
No worries.
You get a Colgate commercial.
I've got one for you, Tim.
Yes.
If you had to pick Petrarca or Bontempelli?
A recent bias, probably Petrarca.
Gaz is Petrarca, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
At his best.
And
yeah.
You?
Oh, God. I'll ask you the question.
Yeah, and you. Sausage is going to be with us every week, I think, through it. Well, he is now. We'll tell him he is. And he'll be on Trade Radio every day as well. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.